There's one particular name of Jesus that I want to talk about for a little while. And it's this one. Prince of Peace. Now, children, if you want to listen to an excellent talk, that's absolutely fine. However, if you would rather have one of my nifty Christmas activity puzzle sheets to do while I'm talking, then that is also fine. And Ali has got a whole stack of these up the back now. So if you go and see her, then she will give you one of these. And when I've finished talking, I'm going to ask you what one snowman said to the other snowman. And you'll be able to tell me. All year round, we are bombarded by advertising, aren't we? It's just a factor of modern life. And yet, I think at Christmas, it gets even worse because it kind of reaches its peak. Every shop, every organisation wants you to buy its thing, maybe to wrap up for somebody else for Christmas, but they want you to buy their thing. Advertising is an unavoidable part of modern life. Even strangely, it seems to be being incorporated into Christmas. Adverts are now an important part of what makes up Christmas. And so we find ourselves wondering, what will be the Coca-Cola advert for this winter? We find ourselves wondering, how will the BBC introduce their programme lineup this year? We find ourselves wondering what the John Lewis advert will be for this year. I mean, this seems to be a big question, doesn't it? The Telegraph newspaper ran this headline on the 12th of November. Today sees the start of the countdown to Christmas, the launch of the John Lewis advert. It's like, this is what launches Christmas. I don't know if you've seen that advert. It's very cute with penguins. That same article in the Telegraph, it went on to say this. It said, the message is clearly that John Lewis is not just a high street shop selling casseroles and linen, but love itself. And there is the biggest issue that I have with advertising. This tendency to over-promise and then under-deliver. With statements like, your satisfaction is our number one concern. Your cool is important to us. Prevents colds this winter. Overpromise, underdeliver. We get so used to overinflated advertising claims that I guess we develop a kind of inbuilt scepticism, don't we? In fact, I think we have to, don't we, just to kind of survive. We hear the advert, we think, yeah, whatever. Yeah, they're just saying that. You see, the angels, they appeared to the shepherds on the hillside that night, and they made a pretty bold claim. That night that Jesus was born, they said this. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The question is, does your natural scepticism kick in? Do you hear this and do you think, yeah, nice slogan, but probably not really true? Well, do you know, God does not make overinflated claims. It says in the Bible, God is not a man that he should lie. And do you know, this Christmas, it shows you that even when things don't appear that way at first, even when it doesn't seem immediately obvious, you can take God at his word. You can always trust in God. So the first thing the angels said was this. They said, glory to God. And that might not be what you'd expect. You see, there was very little in that scene at Christmas time that was particularly glorious. Bethlehem was a pretty obscure little town. Jesus was surrounded by hay and poop, and he was sleeping in a feeding trough. It would have been pretty manky. He was just a baby. He was weak and helpless. Often when people start painting the nativity scene or depict it in works of art, they can't resist adding some glory around Jesus, like little halos around Jesus and Mary and Joseph, or some mysterious light emanating from the manger. Do you know, there was no glory. There was no glory there in that image. So why did the angels sing glory to God? Well, it's because this was no ordinary baby. This was God himself, born as a baby, God in human form. There are two aspects to this word glory. One is that it's just an expression of praise to God. The angels, in saying glory to God, they were just praising him. They're saying, oh God, you are amazing. There's a psalm that's written in the Old Testament. It's Psalm 29, and it's talking about how mighty and how powerful God is. And it says, the voice of the Lord flashes like lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. And it goes on like that. And then at the end, it says, and in his temple, everyone cries out, glory. It's just an explosion of praise. God is worthy of our praise this Christmas time. That's kind of what we've been doing, singing these carols. Just celebrating and enjoying who God is, celebrating his goodness and his love and his power, because Jesus is king. He's supremely royal. Don't forget the prince in the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. But there is another aspect to this word glory. You see, throughout the Bible, there are occasions when God wanted to make himself known, when he wanted to show people something of his character. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were told by God to put up a tent. And after they put this tent together, it says that the presence of God came and filled that tent. Now, I don't know what that would have looked like exactly. But what the people said was, look, it's the glory of God. It's God making himself known to us. Now, in the birth of Jesus, we have the ultimate revelation of who God is. It's like now we can see God. God has made himself known. This is God becoming man and living with us. It says that in John's gospel, it puts it like this. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only. The whole point of this Christmas time. The whole point of Christmas. It's what the angels were announcing, is that God wants to be known by you. Not as a distant, mysterious power, but as a father. He wants a relationship with you. And so when the angels saw Jesus born lying in that manger, they said, glory to God. And people can know God. You know, you can know God. He has made himself known. The next thing they said was, peace on earth. Now, again, on the face of it, you might think that that's kind of, well, maybe a call to advertising standards is required. If this is God's advertising slogan, you think, well, is that really true? Peace on earth? I mean, let's just think about back in Jesus' day, for a start, the people in that part of the world were under Roman rule. They had like an occupying force. They resented all the taxes they had to pay. It felt far from peaceful. They weren't overjoyed, I expect, of having to travel for this census. It was awkward. It wasn't peaceful. Do you know, one of the first things that happened after Jesus was born was that the King Herod, it was a nasty piece of work, he ordered that all the young boys around Bethlehem be killed. Is that peace on earth? Even today, the world is full of war and terrorism. And people are fearful. The economic security, people are fearful of where the next lone wolf terrorist attack is going to come from. And of course, this year we're about to go into 2015. It's a general election year, isn't it? That basically means we've now got 5 months of argument. Hardly peaceful. Here are some images taken from our news during the month of December. Is this peace on earth? Someone said the good thing about Christmas is that we get to forget about the real world for 1 week and enjoy a time of peace. Is that what the angels meant? glory to God and a public holiday to all men. And of course, it's terrible scenes in Glasgow this week. And you feel so much for those families that have just experienced devastating loss. And what they're saying is, and you saw it repeatedly, this season was meant to be a time of peace and goodwill. And all we know is tragedy and loss. So when the angel said peace on earth, what did they mean? This was an announcement of truth, because with the birth of Jesus came peace that really counts. And again, there are two aspects of peace that Jesus brings. The first is this, you see, the birth of Jesus brought peace on earth because through Jesus you can have peace with God. God wants a relationship with you. But you know, that's not the condition that we are born into. The Bible says that without Jesus, we were actually God's enemies. Because right from the start, our lives were full of sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It's the basic desire you have to live your life your own way without any concern for your creator, God. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, then you might have a certain level of peace in some areas of your life, but where it really counts, with the living God, you have no peace. When Jesus came into this world, God said, here is the way that you can have peace with me. And it's because he knew, and maybe the angels knew, that Jesus would grow up and live his life completely free from sin and then die. And in dying, he would pay the penalty for your sin, so that your sin could be removed from your account, put onto Jesus, and that you can begin that relationship with God as your Father that will last for eternity. And if that is true, and I've got every reason to believe that it is true, then this Christmas story, it becomes the most remarkable, significant, momentous moment in history. And no wonder the angels were getting excited. This is peace on earth. Through the birth of this tiny baby, you get to have peace with the God of the universe. That's no small thing. But I think there is a second aspect to this peace that comes with Jesus. Because through Jesus, not only do you get peace with God, you also get peace from God. When Jesus grew up, he said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You see, the world can be in turmoil, and it is. And bad stuff can happen, and it does. It may be that your life this Christmas has trouble. Maybe it has some difficulty. Maybe everything isn't sorted. You know, Jesus says, I will give you peace. The best that the world can give you is a kind of temporary relief. With Jesus, it's entirely different. It's a peace that comes out of your relationship with him, knowing that he is with you daily. Knowing that whatever life holds now, you are eternally safe and secure with him. Now, Christmas, amongst other things, is an important part of the year in the football calendar. And it's an important moment always for my team, which is Southampton. And tomorrow we have an important game away to Crystal Palace, I think. And I often like to watch the football highlights at the end of a Saturday, match of the day, or match of the day two on a Sunday. And that means that I spend most of that day, usually the Saturday, trying to not know what the final score was, because I want to watch it in the evening. But invariably, somebody will come to me during that day and say, oh, good news about Southampton. And it's like, no, that's kind of like ruined it. But there is an effect to that. What it means is that when I'm watching the highlights at 10:30 that night, I'm just more calm. You see, Southampton, they might even go 1-0 down. It does happen. But that's okay. I'm all right with that because I know the final score. I know they're going to win through in the end. Do you know, that's not that different to the peace that Jesus brings. It's a peace that says, let me tell you the final score. Let me tell you how it all works out. You see, you will be with me forever. That's the final score. So this Christmas, remember that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. On Sunday mornings here in Grace Church, we are preaching through some of the statements made about Jesus through the Christmas story in Luke's Gospel. And as Luke wrote his Gospel, he wasn't trying to write a script for a nativity play. He wasn't trying to come up with a sentimental story. He was trying to introduce Jesus to as many people as possible. Do you know, he was introducing Jesus to you. So as Christmas fades away, everything gets packed back in the boxes, put in the loft. Don't forget who Jesus is. It's the most important thing. He is your Saviour. He is your Messiah. He is your King. What Jesus promises, he delivers on. And he said, whoever looks at me, even as a baby, and believes in me, he will have eternal life. If you want to find out more about this Jesus, then I would love you to come on our Alpha course. You find out what it means to know him personally. And on your chairs, or a chair near you, I just stuck loads of these flyers, which just tell you where to look to find out more about our Alpha course. Or you can chat to somebody on your way out. We run Alpha here in Chichester, also down in Bognor as well, in Howard's Cafe. We'd just love to include you on that. Runs over 10 weeks with food, a chance to meet people, a chance to hear stuff and discuss and ask questions. And so just come along to the Taster Evening and find out about that. You'd also be really welcome just to join us on a Sunday morning, because we meet here in the Grace Centre at 10 a.m. every Sunday, and we meet in Bognor Regis in the university campus down there at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. Why don't you just come and be a part of what we're doing? Don't make Jesus a Christmas thing. You see, given what the angels said alone, he really ought to be a part of your life. Let's just pray together and then we'll sing our final carol. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for Jesus. Saviour, Emmanuel, Son of the Most High, Wonderful Counsellor, and as we've remembered this morning, Prince of Peace. Lord, I pray that we would know that relationship with you as our Father that only can be found through the peace that Jesus brings. Lord, we want to receive from you, Lord, everything you would have for us. We want you to be glorified through our lives. We want to know that relationship. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus, that we might know you this Christmas time. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.